Money FM 89.3, best of drive time.
Money FM 89.3, it is now time for Sports Minutes. I'm Elliot Danka, together with Ziaul Raushan. Question for you, my friend. Has anything unfortunate ever happened to you when you were on a travel type of thing, holiday?
Yep, I think it has. Many years ago, I unfortunately was mugged, I believe they call it, in that part of the world, while in Barcelona with my cousin. I mean, it was just a bit of a tourist trap. Guy rocked up with a map, a bit of a quick move of hand, and then you realize money is gone.
So pickpocketed.
Pickpocketed, essentially. Okay. Thankfully for me, I was a younger cousin, so I had lesser money in my wallet. It didn't hurt me as much. But for my cousin, he lost a fairly big sum of money, and we subsequently went on to lodge a police report, but nothing came of it.
Yeah, even at a young age or an old age, when you go travel, right, you are always on a budget because you're in another country. You never know, like, maybe I want to buy something or maybe I need emergency cash. You know, anything can happen.
Exactly.
Did you ever go back to Barcelona after that?
I've been back a couple of times since to Barcelona.
Any phobias when you go past that same area where you were pickpocketed?
I think, unfortunately, that incident alone didn't just restrict me to be more wary in Barcelona. Yeah. Overall, when I travel now, I tend to have my guard up slightly when approached by what is clearly a tourist trap. And I think that comes with experience of traveling as well, right? So thankfully, nothing sinister happened physically, but that loss of money made me think about being more aware of my surroundings and who I interact with while on holidays.
I got to admit to you, before I went to Italy last year, my wife had warned me that this particular place in Italy can get a bit racist, or that was her experience. And I went, I'll go and see for myself. She said, yeah, you go see for yourself. And throughout the trip, I could see that she had that wariness. I don't know when this racism is going to come out again. And then I got racially abused. And we went to many states in Italy, and I just had this mentality like, any comment could be a racial comment.
Can be laced. Can be laced, right?
Because my mind is already starting to be programmed that way, right? So I guess it's part of being human. I'm not accusing anyone, but I guess I did get racially abused in the end, for real, proper, right?
Okay.
I was spit at. I'll just leave it at that. Would I want to go back there? I was asked, and I said, no. because I don't want to go through that again. Can you imagine these guys who are in Saudi Arabia for the Saudi Arabia Grand Prix in Jeddah? I'm talking about the Formula One drivers. You'll remember there was like bombings and an explosion there before a race.
Yeah, very close to where the racetrack is.
It was last year, if I'm not wrong.
And that's quite recent, right? And we obviously shared our experiences of incidences happening to us while on travels. But for these guys, they obviously travel in a bubble. It's a bit like a circus, and they take it to various different parts of the world. What you're talking about, an explosion that happened so close to the track, I'm sure there will be some form of fear or PTSD involved, right?
Yeah, well, Lewis Hamilton on Media Day, which is usually the Thursday before the weekend race, which obviously starts on a Friday, talked about how F1 was duty-bound to raise issues and awareness over human rights issues or abuse. He's obviously following through on how he said that he's not going to keep quiet, he's going to speak his mind. But at the same time, drivers have been given assurances by Saudi authorities and F1 bosses that a series of steps have been put in place to ensure that this year's event will not be disrupted.
Look, my opinion on this is I think these 20 drivers, the fastest men in the world, put themselves at risk every time they race already. So that in itself is already putting them perhaps in the spotlight for danger. To then take the race to a place where there's clearly political turmoil, uncertainty, and further extend the possibility of something going wrong, I think that doesn't sit too right with me. I mean, I understand it's still a business and it's about countries wanting to expand tourism with Formula One arriving. But to Lewis Hamilton's credit, he's not shying away from speaking of the negativities involved with holding a race in Saudi Arabia. As you would read in that same article, there are various drivers who would toe the line because ultimately they know F1 gives them a platform to earn money, to race, and to set up a career, right? But for Lewis, I think he's taken it personally on board to fight the injustices because it's almost like he has nothing to prove anymore. He'd rather use his great influence to push for change. Unfortunately for me, I do think cash ultimately is still king. So as much as in my mind, Lewis Hamilton is the king of the track, what he says he says it himself in the article that the racing will go on even if I don't show up here. And that's true. That's the reality of the situation. But going back to that question of putting the drivers in that difficult circumstance, it's not just the drivers at risk, right? Mm. There are going to be plenty of fans who come along for these races as well. Why would you want to possibly expose them to something? And also, at the back of their mind, think about what happened in 2022. I think that's a very difficult situation they want to put themselves in, Formula One.
So, drivers who toe the line, I love this one. Haas driver Kevin Magnussen saying, last year was pretty special. None of us enjoyed it, but it's a different situation now. There's a different political. There is a ceasefire between the two parties that were involved last year that gives some confidence. Lance Stroll from Aston Martin, Red Bull Sergio Perez saying they trusted F1 and the race organizers to look after them. So I guess in terms of a balancing act, it's not all sunshine, but Lewis Hamilton being the one that's trying to be real about the entire matter, and everyone's just being, how should I put it, gentle about it.
Yeah, I think they're being a bit PR about it. I think that's the way to put it, right? They don't want to hurt the organizers. They don't want to technically bite the hand that feeds them.
Yeah,
so they're trying to toe the line slightly. But I do worry, touch wood, I know the drivers are going racing this weekend. I don't want anything so sinister to happen, and then it ends up being a reaction when it could have been prevented. I mean, ultimately, the racing should dominate these Thursday media headlines. It should be about Ferrari's 10-place grid penalty going into this weekend. Unfortunately, the biggest story coming out of it is security concerns, which does not fall in line with how sport should be played out.
Yeah, where's the colonel from Elvis? Security, security, security. But I hate it, you know, that politics and sports gets blended. I mean, you think, I remember, this is not real life, but I remember when I was a kid, I watched this TV series called Hercules, and Kevin Sorbo was in it. And in this TV series, they depicted that Hercules was the one that invented the Olympics. Mm. And he said in this episode, which is edged in my mind, one of the reasons I love sports so much is we compete fairly when it comes to sports. No politics, and it's big, strong man, right? No politics, put all of that aside. Just your skills, just the sport, just the game. And if whether you win or lose, we must be sportsmen. We must have sportsmanship.
Yeah, ultimately, I think that is what should dictate sport. That's what makes us go back to sport so often every weekend as fans, regardless of the type of sport, because you want a level playing field. You don't want the lines to be blurred with politics and all. What I find quite funny is F1 used to be under a quote-unquote dictator himself, under Bernie Eccleston, but you would think that reign was over once Bernie gave up the reins to Liberty Media. Unfortunately, it seems to have taken a few steps back in that sense, where now they are making deals with the devils. Yeah. And it's not just, I know we're talking specifically about the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix and what's going to happen in Jeddah this weekend, but there are various grey areas that Formula One seems to want to embroil itself in. There was the Russian driver who was on the grid, and then with what happened in Russia and Ukraine, he was removed from the grid. So I'm starting to think, I know we talk about any publicity being good publicity, but this sort of publicity, is it really good for the sport? I do question it.
It questions the sport even. And that Russian driver, not to mention, was driving for Haas. His dad was a title sponsor. So even his dad, the sponsor, the money was dropped as well. We are putting Saudi Arabia in the spotlight this particular episode, as FIFA has dropped plans for Saudi Arabia to sponsor the 2023 Women's World Cup. The president, Gianni Infantino, saying that this, of course, following the backlash from co-hosts Australia and New Zealand, players and sponsors, about all this proposals that were put forward.
You can understand why they've had to come up with this decision. In that same article, he says it was a storm in a teacup. And I don't agree with that, because I know it comes with issues. The likes of the Middle Eastern countries that have their human rights issues, they have various different stances against the rest of the world with LGBTQ. So there are various contentious points. So it's no surprise that a couple of countries like Australia and New Zealand would oppose to being linked. Because I think in this global sphere, when you have a title sponsor, like you mentioned earlier, it intrinsically blends in with the host country, with the participants. And especially for something like the Women's World Cup, does it make sense to get a sponsor from a country that historically is known to deny women the rights they deserve in this day and age? It is we talk about F1 threading the fine line between politics and everything else. I feel like Infantino often goes down that road as well, because I remember the quite historic press conference right before the Qatar World Cup where he made reference to feeling Qatari, feeling certain ways just to try and draw a line or draw similarities. Yeah. But it comes across slightly underhanded, slightly unnecessary. Yeah.
Point of convenience, Your Honor, he also got elected unopposed.
Surprise, surprise.
Continues to be FIFA president. I mean, if you just watch that FIFA sports documentary on Netflix, and you know, it makes you question things. And on a very personal note, that was one of the reasons why I refused to sign up for the World Cup package. Mm. So the only games I watched were the free ones, which were the semis and the final.
Yeah.
My wife was like, are you really down this path? Are you really taking this up? I said, yeah, I'm quite angry that they've made a circus out of this. So you know what? I'm not going to watch the group games.
And I think you're an excellent case in point for that issue, whereby, yes, you'll have your bona fide sports fans, in this instance football fans, who will do it rain or shine, whatever the price may be.
Sure.
But for a competition like the World Cup, it involves the world. So there'll be plenty of people who are, let's say, fair weather fans or part-time fans. I feel like FIFA's moves to involve these other countries may alienate those fans, and therefore it may end up losing the global appeal that it has had growing up. And that's a issue they cannot avoid, purely because having fans means revenue for someone like FIFA. Yeah, if you're going to alienate people, then you're going to hit yourselves in the pocket, which is not good in the long run.
Yeah. Another question that was brought up during this massive press conference, the question of prize money. And Infantino says that there's some kind of a three-step plan for the women's game. Long story short, they are aiming for equal prize money for the 2027 World Cup. Why do you need a three-step plan to get equal prize money? Step one, let's think about it. Step two, let's ask if everyone is okay. Step three, we'll do it. And we need 5 years.
Hey, it boggles my mind why you need so long to put something in place that has been fought for so long.
What do you need to survey? That's something you survey, right?
I mean, I hope they're not asking a group of men to make that decision, because it's to do with the women's game and they deserve equal rights as much as possible. So again, I have no answer to your question in terms of why it needs to be a three-step process.
This is not taking advantage or, dare I say, playing some kind of a women's card. It's not that. It's you're going out there, you're playing a sport. The rules are the same. You've got 90 minutes, substitutions and all that. But some of these ladies, take the US women's team, for example. Some of these ladies, they become pregnant and they give birth, and then they got to work their way to fitness and get back into the game. And there are not many good female players. So all the more should they not be appreciated. It's a different argument from men's and women's tennis, where they outrightly say, yeah, well, men play 5 sets max, women play 3 sets. And that argument, I think you can really continue to debate it, you know? But this is different.
Exactly. To your point about tennis and football, it's essentially the same sport that men do that women do in football, right?
Yeah.
So why is there this disparity, this long-standing disparity? I feel, to look at it positively, at least the three-step plan has been addressed and we now have a deadline in terms of when this will be resolved. Whether that's too long a deadline is a separate question, but at least steps are being taken in the right direction to give them the recognition they deserve.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.